Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode number 444. John has done this 444 times, and I have done this, let's see, it was 182 when I joined. So somebody who's watching or listening to the show, do the
math. Yo, Paquita.
Yeah, I've been here a few hundred times. And today, we're going to take a stab at what John and I think are some solid real estate lead generation strategies for 2024. 2024 doesn't sound much different than 2023 or 2022 or 2021. However, we're still going to have our take on what these things are, what you might do, how you might do it. And we're going to focus, I am going to focus my side of the show on talking a little bit about the differentiation in where you are at with your career as it relates to these particular marketing strategies, because that's been a hot button with me as people have been calling me to either one, double down on the kind of marketing that we do at Inbound REM, or two, basically give me notice that they're quitting the business. It's been a weird year, which happens every once in a while in real estate. And so I'm really excited to get into this topic because it's been a weird year. So without any further ado, John, you're the one who is the brilliant mofo that comes up with all the subjects, does all the work, reviews, researches, just does so many different things for the show. If you can do is two things. One, introduce yourself to everybody. But number two, I'd love to hear you say why you decided to do a refresher on this subject for the Mailride show.
Yeah, I do research. Well, first of all, I'm the joint founder of Mailright.com, mail-right.com. We're a WordPress-based platform, CRM, social media calendar, email, text messaging, landing pages. We give you everything you want in one place to do your digital marketing on at an affordable price. So go over to Mailright and have a look at that because it's a great platform. And secondly, why this? I do just some general research every week about what the subject, and I delved into this and I thought we could give some value to our listeners. It's that simple, Robert.
Okay. So value, buckle up, everybody. It's value. We're doing a value show today. You're getting your grocery shopping of real estate marketing done, and today you're in the value bin. So we're really just going to open this up. We're going to break your mind.
You see the funny mood today. He was quite nice. He's been very nice to me today on this episode. You know, I'm getting worried, listeners of yours. I'm getting worried. He's been too nice to me.
So we're gonna change your life. All right. We're going to start off by talking about social marketing. So first of all, John, for those that may not be 100% sure what we're putting under that bucket, maybe there's a small handful of people who don't even know what that is. What is social marketing?
Well, we covered it last week. So if you want a bit more in depth on this, go and have a listen to last week's episode, Fake. And we're dealing with all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, the big daddy when it comes to effective social media. I would say the three that I think most real estate agents could get some leads are YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Facebook, I really do think you need to throw some money at it if you're going to get some real results. But they're the three main platforms. And like I say, listen to last week's episode where we go into some depth about how you can use those in 2024 to get some leads.
I agree. So for those of you who are not following along entirely on your brain side, that would be 443 would be the episode number. We did cover a lot of cool stuff. And I'm going to take my comments on that show a step further. I'm going to say this. Skip all the platformic stuff. it just confuses the issue. I have a question for everybody, you included, John. It is simple to me. I am not a social marketer. I'm not even really an SEO guy. I break it down to the simplest level. I am a storyteller. And once I've learned something, I like to teach about what I've learned. It's been something that has been true of me since I've been 11 years old. Always been that way. Not, so it's my wiring. Do you consider that you have storytelling wiring, or is it something different with you, John?
I have to think about that. There's part of me that would say I am a bit of a story. I like to work things out. I like to think about things and work them out. And business is, what I like about business is the money, obviously, because that gives me some degree of freedom. But I like solving puzzles, and businesses, running a business is like a big puzzle, isn't it?
It is indeed. So what I heard you say is that independence is your core motivator.
Yeah, it is.
Like independence and freedom is your core motivator. And the complexities of business are satisfying to you. And storytelling is more minor for you. So if I was consulting with you, John, I would not necessarily drive you. If I was going to drive you anyplace, I'd drive you in the direction of Google. And why would I do that? Because you can do less storytelling less frequently. You don't have to always be talking to your audience on Google. And so when people are talking to us about social marketing, and John and I did a really good job of explaining the platforms last week and which ones do what and why you might want to focus on them. But instead of looking at it like that, I like telling stories. Once a camera is on, I don't really care, is the truth of it. Like, I'm just telling the story that I want to tell that day and trying to educate people and help them on a subject that I feel deeply well-versed in. And for me personally, I'm obsessive about what the level of expertise needs to be when you say, I'm going to teach you something. That's why I still feel like I learn new things, John, about real estate marketing. I've been doing it for 16 years. I've taken like 6 deep dives into Sync at this point, and I'm going to take a 7th. I need to know for sure that I understand the platform backwards and forwards before I have the audacity to say that I'm going to teach you something about it. So what other people are wired for is should be how it determines the rest of this, a lot of these subjects that we're going to talk about. Social marketing, sphere of influence, online content marketing. These are the subjects today. Hustling, paid leads, impersonal networking with social marketing, ladies and gentlemen. Can you tell a story? Do you want to update everybody about your life every single day? And some of you are like that. Some of you are extroverts. And it's easier for you to do 5 minutes of an update than think about a content piece that's going to resonate or educate. I run across those people all the time, John. Yeah, and if that's the case, social marketing is for you. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a good resource. I was listening to another podcast, the Tropical MBA. Mm-hmm. And the two people on that podcast, one of them's built up multiple audience over the past 4 to 5 years. I think it's got over 400,000 X followers, and I think he's got a very big podcast, the Tropical MBA. And he the last episode he went through 8 things he wished somebody had advised him on his own journey around social media. So if you want to, I thought it was quite good, the hints he was giving. So you feel, folks, if you want another resource, go over and listen to that podcast, The Tropical MBA, the last episode, and I think you get something from it.
The Tropical MBA, for those of you who might not have followed along with that, well, that's excellent. Number 2 on our list, and probably the next subject before we go to our break in about 7 minutes. Sphere of influence. A sphere of influence, I feel, have you ever, John, I'll bet you anything in the world that you've never heard of a steak company that like a knife company that sells strictly through sphere of influence and have been doing it that way for 60 years. Have you ever heard of Cutco?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So some of the world's best knives are made by a company called Cutco. Cutco only sells through college students who who do a networking sales process that Cutco introduces to you. Effectively, it's you start off with a list of 50 people. They give you a script that is something like, I'm a brand new college student. I'm trying to put myself through school. And Cutco hits two or three notes that a college student who isn't a professional in sales isn't going to understand or notes. It's the help me note. Okay. If you can, you can assist me. The youth note, the age of the people that are selling their product for them. And then last but not least, the overall desire to be altruistic in general. So they do a very good job of that. They do such a good job. It's one of the biggest knife companies in the US, and it's sold strictly through sphere of influence. My wife worked for them for a while, my ex-wife of many years ago. This is like 25, 30 years ago, guys, everybody. And she worked for them for a while. And it was a fascinating sales structure because she never stopped having leads, John, ever. My wife never ran out of leads. She was always incredibly good because when somebody says, I don't want to buy your knives, she has like a recap. There's lots of words, sales words for it, but she has a thing that she says that says, well, I understand you're not going to buy any knives from me, but you know what? I am a college student. I'm struggling. I'm hungry. At the very least, can you think of 10 people similar to you that might be willing to hear me out or might be willing to talk to me briefly about whatever, the knives? It's not said like that. Essentially, their end pitch, their letting go of the sales situation is, can you give me 10 other people? And then she, my wife, would get them into their phone book when we still had those things in your address book and just say, give me 10 names. And they did. And then she called and would say, I was referred to you by so-and-so. And it was a never-ending cycle, ever. Like, it was always, the pitches were good enough that they had always at least three people that said yes out of every 10. Those three people, at least one would give you another 10. And so the cycle continues. Sphere of influence, okay? On ad nauseum. So when you're thinking sphere of influence, John, do you have an example of how you may have pulled in a lead or something like that through sphere of influence?
No, but I've got an example where my ego has been damaged today.
Okay.
Yeah. Automatic, you run, who's the parent company behind WordPress, has just... is doing a lot more outreach to WordPress influencers. And they had a call, seemingly they had a special Zoom yesterday or the day before, where they contacted all the major influencers in the WordPress space,
mm-hmm,
to discuss that they're, you know, what they're doing, and they want to be more open, more touchy-feely to the WordPress influencer community. And guess who never got invited to this? He's got the second biggest WordPress podcast in that area, but never got invited to this special Zoom to be touched and filled a bit more, Robert.
Wow.
Never got invited.
Wow. You, John. You.
No, I never got invited. So my ego's a little bit bruised, that little bit of green inside us all.
Well, that deeply sucks. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's painful, isn't it? I know my place now.
Well, sphere of influence, ladies and gentlemen, is wildly misunderstood. So I'm going to give everybody a piece of advice. I'm going to assume that every single person listening to this podcast understands what the idea of contacting your friends and family is like. And let me tell you, as a lifetime storyteller, the secret... I've done every multi-level marketing thing that there is, and selling to your friends and family is stressful. What's not stressful is developing a story about the things that you do for a living and making it clear that the light post is on for them to contact you should they ever need your services in your particular area. I do have quite a few clients that are through my sphere of influence. It is because I am not in anybody's space about what I do. Half my friends don't know. And the other half are always surprised. Everybody assumes I'm a starving artist. and because of the way I look, because of the way I talk, because of the way I am when I'm out. And I focus very heavily on the idea when I am asked of saying I am, like, I really give it a little sizzle. Like, I'm probably one of the best real estate SEO guys in the country. And then I go, well, it's a very small field. And I really consider myself more of a storyteller. But that's what I do. I build real estate websites, drive traffic, and I get leads. You keep it simple. Have an elevator pitch for your sphere of influence, everybody. It needs to be under 10 to 20 seconds. You cannot think. If somebody's interested, they'll ask you a follow-up question. That's it. So that's number one. Number two, if you're really gonna work your sphere, I'm gonna go back to something John and I have said to you constantly. I have noticed, John, that a lot of real estate agents do not follow any particular sales stratagem. They don't hire sales coaches or anything. And while I am long past the days in which I would have a basic sales coach, I write scripts and I am deep in that now. I had my time in which I was hiring everybody. I had tons of coaches, tons of books I read, tons of things that I did. I had corporate coaches. I had sales language coaches. I had psychology coaches. And I really think that you all need to have a good script. Just like I told you about Cutco, you need to have a good reason to call. It needs to be concise. And then you just need to say, hey, and you need to make sure that when you end the call, you leave the door open to others.
I was a bit against this, but I think having coaching about how to deal with objections is quite important. I had a call 2 weeks ago and she booked it through Zoom. And the whole thing was dealing with objections. And she hasn't bought anything from me, but I was still quite happy how it went because she must have asked me every question in that half hour. It was a constant challenge questions that were, here's my objection, what's your answer to it? Mm-hmm. And it was just, it wasn't one or two. It went on for half an hour. And normally you start sweating, don't you? I do. But I was quite calm and they just answered it. And I was quite proud because it proved that I had thought, and with some experience now, I had the answers to the objections.
I used to. But you do tens of thousands of door knocks, tens of thousands of calls. And those are the situations that make you sweat. Taking something from cold to warm, you're going to get a lot of objections. But it's a very pugilistic way to learn sales. Like, it's a very, you're always fighting with the person to get their attention and their interest. But the greatest salespeople in the world are door knockers and people that sell shit in parking lots. Really. Seriously. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, those are the greatest salespeople in the world. They will take you from zero to sale, and when you didn't even think you were going to buy something.
The other thing is, I used to be really bad because I wasn't. It's going to sound, I don't know if you agree with this because you've got a lot more experience than me on sales, is feeling that you've got to feel the silences. It's counterintuitive, folks. Don't ask artificially fill in the silences. If there's a natural break, let the person ask the next question. Don't jump in. Give the person space. Don't artificially fill it in, because that can come across as a bit desperate. Is that making any sense, Robert?
It is indeed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've definitely hit a point where we should take a break, and we're going to do that right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about online content marketing, which is absolutely in my core area of expertise. We're going to talk about hustling, that probably means something different to John and I. We'll see. And then we're going to talk about in-person networking, which is not that far off sphere of influence, in my opinion. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. John, stay with me. And we'll be right back.
You want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 444 of the MailRight podcast. Today, we're talking about some good lead generation strategies. We're going to say best because that's better for the algorithms, but I'm going to say good. Like secretly inside the podcast, I'm going to say good real estate lead generation strategies for 2024. We're on to online content marketing. All right, that is such.
You don't know nothing about that, do you?
It's such a broad term, ladies and gentlemen. Like online content marketing, that could mean video, it could mean the written word, it could mean pictures, it could mean so many different things. What does it mean to you, John?
It's basically some form of content that is online that actually people see that. Can influence them to actually contact you for your services or products.
Yeah, there's like a new tool coming out called like Hello Vivo or something like that, that the guys over at Wailopo are really deeply looking into to integrate into the core stack. And this is just a toolkit. It's a toolkit, online toolkit. It's like what's your home worth and forms and information capture and stuff like that. That toolkit is a type of content marketing, but not really. Content is generally like a story or something of substance. And that would be automation marketing, where you're automating something inside a process and then you're expecting that to get you leads. Like IDX Broker is automation marketing, technically. We couch it in content. So it's content surrounded by automation, which then generates your leads. And here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. I've lost 80% of you. I think I've lost Sean. Everybody falls asleep when you say all of this stuff. Like, I get it. So here's a better way for me to say content marketing. Can you tell a story or answer questions for people in a way that connects with humans? Break it down to the simplest level. It really comes down to that. Some people tell these stories well. Some people don't. I'm going to give you everybody an analogy, including you, John. My current favorite case study for inbound REM, and we have a couple hundred clients now, so we've got a lot of clients to look at. It's an 80 or 78, I think she is, woman, an English woman, just like you, out of New Jersey, which is one of the most conservative marketing spots that you can go to for real estate. It's mostly nepotism there. And it took me 3 years to close a very small local marketing package deal. And I say close, it's old sales language, but 3 years of talking to this lady before she pulled the trigger on the smallest thing that we offer as an agency. And here's the crazy thing, John. We're getting her to go viral, which is nuts to me. Nuts. And the way that we're doing it, the videos of hers that go viral, the ones that don't do good, like she isn't doing very well on the relocation subjects and things like that. But for some reason, effectively, when she goes, this
can
is
I
what...
Guess.
Go ahead. Yeah.
She does break dancing?
No.
No. She's not into break dancing.
No.
See that going. Certainly here in New Jersey, granted, going break dancing.
No.
No, she's not into right. Oh, that's English flippancy.
Oh, no, you know what? This is English for you.
All right.
What goes really well is basically what I hate about your house.
I can see that working, actually. I can see that. Is she still very English?
Very. Is okay, more so
that.
Than
I
you.
I can see that being delicious.
It is. So she's getting thousands of views. She has actually gotten a listing because she does. She is your English grandmother, and boy, oh boy, does she have some things to say about what you're doing wrong when you try to list your house, like in stuff like that, like things she doesn't like. They're going really Richter because she's detailed. She's into it. And I am telling all of you, including you, John, this is a much older lady. So you're sitting here going, this won't, I don't know, this is going to work. And it works gangbusters. She even gets calls. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
So there's a certain group of American friends or acquaintances that I know that like me being really awful to them. Sarcasm. Well, they can't get enough of my sarcasm. But there's another group of Americans that think I'm a total arsehole. But there is a percentage of Americans that just lap it up. They just want more and more of the sarcasm.
Well, that is something that is a note for all of you in terms of what kind of strategy you're going to pursue. Online content marketing is about creating something online. It could be a blog post, could be a YouTube video, could be a TikTok. You know, you could be really into hanging out with your kids. As long as you can connect that in the thinnest of ways to your real estate career, like what are the best schools or what are the parks that I like in this neighborhood? And by the way, you know, I rep homes here. Here's what you...
I was wondering why our ratings are getting higher for this. It's time to go back up again. But I've worked here. Do you remember that old TV series, The Persuaders?
Yeah.
You know, I do, actually. You're Tony Curtis and I'm Roger Moore.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm glad that our ratings are going back up. So that's listen, if you guys have lots of questions about content marketing, it's far too big of a subject to break out into a little podcast. So for content marketing, I'm an incredible resource. I know it's horrible, 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 horrible to toot your own horn, but we've just done a really good job with it. So especially when you're focused on real estate, people that have done a good job in general would be Neil Patel and Brian Dean. But if you are not looking for that, if you're looking for something specific to real estate agents, then Inbound REM, in my opinion, is one of the better resources to go look at for content suggestions, strategies, ideas, thoughts. That's what I'm telling everybody to go check out. Hustling. John, you are one of my favorite hustlers. So explain hustling to the audience.
Well, in the context, I've got a sub-list here that I didn't give you, but I'll kind of door knocking, open houses, expires, meetups, cinemas, investors, the classical stuff. I did this off another website, by the way, folks. But they had door knocking. The only thing with door knocking, I live in Northern Nevada, folks, and it's a bit like Orange County in California. If you knocked on quite a few doors, it's a good job you're going to get your head blown off. So I don't think that's the brightest of ideas, because there is a certain subset that would probably shoot you if they didn't know you and you knocked on their door. Open houses, I think they're despised, but I never understood it, because I think it would be a great source of hustle leads. I think expires is a classic one, isn't it? I think it works if you want to go down that road. Meetups, cinemas, yeah, I think meetups, great. And the investors, obviously, if the market turns, the professional investor class that have their money saved will enter the market to scoop up the offers, won't they?
So I'm going to give you a rebuttal to something you just said. From the days in which I used to run canvassing crews for ADT, which was a home security company, we knocked on a lot of doors. Well, one of the days there was a territory that ADT had marked off all of their canvassing maps, and that was Lake Elizabeth, which is near Bakersfield, California. And the reason they marked it off is that Lake Elizabeth has the highest percentage of alcoholics, retired alcoholic cops, in the entire country.
All right. That's amazing. Okay.
So they were like, don't go there.
I better go and buy a place and I'll fit in, wouldn't I?
So, but we went there. No, you don't want to. We went there. Because these retired cops were mostly people that run the prisons. Anybody in California would know that there's three prisons, Oilsdale, Galeno, there's they put them all out there. way far away from everybody. And so these cops were all the retired guards, just sad and happy men and women. And indeed, they answered the door because I, of course, took my crews there. And they didn't answer the door with more guns. But because, number one, they hadn't had a lot of door knocking, and number two, they were concerned about security. We also sold a lot of security systems, which was shocking to everybody.
Well, it would fit in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like it would, because well, they're just like, and it just like anything else that we're talking about, here's where a professional salesperson comes in, because of course, every single one of those guys answered the door with their gun.
Do you think the knives would work as well?
The knives?
Your wife, your ex-wife, the knife selling.
Oh, no.
Well, they're into gun security. I would have thought they would have been into knives.
I loved when they answered the door with the gun, but to me, the sale was a halfway made, because that showed that they had a deep interest in the core thing that we tried to provide, which is the idea of security. Truthfully, alarm systems are selling fear, which I don't like anymore, but I used to. And so when...
Well, I know somebody that's selling a lot of fear right now, but I seem to be doing reasonably well.
Right. And you can sell a lot of shit with fear. It's a great, great tool if you want to use it. So anyway, we sold a lot of security systems there. And here's the thing about hustling. Oftentimes, hustling is just the idea of being bold, of making sure that your message is locked down pat. If you want a hustler, if you want to be a hustler, I have the strangest recommendation for everybody. Hustle to me is just being on top of your game, focusing on it, waking up, eating and breathing it. When we were canvassing, hustling was getting out there at 8 o'clock in the morning and being the first knock on somebody's door. It was always just sticking to the plan and getting better at the mechanics of the plan. And it worked every time. If you can generate that kind of enthusiasm for what you're doing, it's going to work. Take any of the things that John said and it's going to work. So hustling is really more about being energized and motivated. You can do open houses. Two young men who I shall not name shocked me because they came on board as new customers for Inbound REM. And John, I've done this for 16 years. These young men had figured out a way to leverage garage sales to collect leads and make sales. And they were making a lot of them. Go figure. Like, but here's what was different about them. They hustled. They're like, one way or the other, when we wake up and our eyes open, we're talking to people about real estate. However that is, going to garage sales, whatever it is, we're just going to go, we're going to show up and talk to people about real estate. And of course...
It's not totally necessary, but I think if you're going to sustain yourself, obviously it's about the money, but I do know some people, they actually do like property. They're really into it and they do it for the money, but they also like property. They like knowing about property, all the mechanics. They just love, they can't get enough of it.
Yes, correct. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna close out the bonus content for today. We're 33 minutes into this particular episode. The bonus content today is going to be about in-person networking. All right. In California, it's funny because 85% of the agents around do not do very well with this, but the 15% that do also tend to be some of the best agents in the entire world by sales volume. Because here in California, where I'm at, Beverly Hills, places like that, you cannot like call up Jay-Z and Beyonce and try to talk to them about their house. Flat out. If you know them, you met them someplace, or you met their business manager, or you met their personal assistant, or you met their fitness trainer. In-person marketing is its own genius when it comes to how and where. Christoph Chu has an incredible story about how he made his first sales. He bought a cruise he couldn't afford, went on a cruise with rich people, talked to everybody on the boat, and walked away with a whole bunch of business and in the luxury real estate market. John, in-person marketing is its own very special brand of networking, charisma, being willing to talk to people they don't know, generally speaking, understanding the divide between getting to know you and then mentioning something about what you do for a living. What did you mean when you wrote this down on the list? The last and final subject of the day.
Yeah, I think about what I'm an introvert. I'm not fantastic at this. I say that. There's two, if I'm in my tribe, I'm more up for it. And my tribe is WordPress. My tribe is Bootstrap Startup, Rob Rowling's online, and he has personal conferences, and I've attended. So Bootstrap entrepreneurs, WordPress people, that. I used to do a lot of in Northern Nevada, and I still know quite a few people because my ex-wife was pretty big in the Republican Party in Northern Nevada, and she knew a lot of people. And I used to tag along. I used to get a lot of business from all the people that she knew, but I cut that out. But I still know quite a few people. But I'm an introvert. I'm quite happy on my own. I like people, but I, being on my own, I'm okay with it. You know, it doesn't bother me. So I don't know where I'm going with this. Can you save me, Rob?
Because I'm sure. Sure. I think that in-person networking, which is also, it's taken me a lot of years to be able to say that I'm competent. I am not, like, when you would put me in front of, and I've had the good fortune of meeting some of the best in-person networkers. As a matter of fact, I think I've met the top three in real estate: Jade Mills, Joyce Ray, and Ryan Sarvan. And they're all absolutely incredible at in-person. They actually all present much better in-person than they do online or with interviews or anything. When you meet them and they're dialed into you, every single one of them has these skills that come to play that make you understand how they're going to get a relationship with a billionaire.
The funny thing is, Rob, I like speaking in front of people. I've been told I'm pretty good at it. I get a buzz out of that, but I'm not one of these that generally likes going around strange people. But when you see somebody that's really good at it, it is art, isn't it?
It is really an art. It is really art, because it's an art of between expressing yourself and making the other person feel seen and heard. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. Betsy Graham, who is publicly one of Tom, for all of you listening to this show, there is a master who is now coaching for Tom Ferry. She has taught most, including some of the names I just mentioned, she's taught most of these people their skill set. She's just not quite as well known. She's a master networker, a master attention getter, and she's a legend in the real estate industry. Her name is Betsy Graham. She has trained 30% of the movers and shakers in Coldwell Banker that drive their luxury brand. And she's currently coaching for Tom Ferry. And the thing about her, John, she is like your super detail-oriented, friendly grandmother type at this point. She just remembers every detail about every person. That's it. And she also focuses, like, she has a great story about how she basically sold, you know, a $20 million property based on a relationship with a Pomeranian. True story. So what gets you the deals is really more about creating a relationship with the client. And that can look like a lot of different things. Like, it can look like being an animal lover, or like sticking, like, there's so much that goes into it. So in-person networking, it's really about understanding people. I'd recommend a lot of psychology books if that's what you're going to do. And I'd recommend that you follow along with Betsy and Jade and Joyce and watch the way these ladies do interviews, watch the way they communicate. If you ever can get around them in person, because they all do public events, watch their body language, watch how they naturally smile and greet everybody. Because here's another thing about in-person networking. I hate to break it to everybody listening to the show, but if you think that you're automatically going to know a billionaire or somebody else that has high net worth when they walk up to you, you are currently wrong. A lot of people that have wealth play down appearance these days. They walk around in tennis shoes and stuff that you're like, I could get those for $10 online. And they're cozy. Like, literally.
Do you think there's a difference between the East Coast and the West Coast when it comes to that?
Probably. I spent a lot more time in the West Coast than the East, but I have spent time there, and I think...
Well, I haven't been on the East Coast, but I spent a fair bit of time in London. And then,
that's a whole other thing.
And that you could tell wealth quite... They dress the accessories. So I would imagine, I'm only surmising this, that the East Coast is a bit like London. But I've noticed on the West Coast that you're totally right. You don't know. I've spoken to people that are VCs at startup events, and these are huge, and you would never guess, never, that how much money you're talking to.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, some of these guys go out of their way to not advertise, which makes it more difficult because they don't want the attention. So it's a new and brave world that we're in, which means that you have to be dialed in for every single person that walks up to you. And that's another thing about these master networkers, is that you'll discover that they have a way of inviting everybody in and then making sure that they focus their time on the people that propel their career forward. And they do it all without insulting anybody. It's pretty brilliant. And it is a definite, very refined skill set. So without any further ado, I think it's been a great show. We're 40 minutes on the nose. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listen, as John and I are both, when we do these podcasts, we're essentially content marketers. My general idea is that we're trying to educate you. However, it is true we're also trying to open the door to another possibility for your business. And John has a great one. John has built the system from the ground up, soup to nuts, where it's a website, it's a CRM, it's a text messaging thing. It's got a lot of functionality, and it's a price point that is equivalent to most of the other lesser costing but still efficient marketing systems that are out there. Plus, you get a guy that's really dedicated to the idea of building his business and service and things like that. So if anybody is interested in any of that, you can still book a 30-minute call with John, which personally, John, I think is a little low on the time frame for real estate agents, but whatever. That's on you. But 30 minutes.
Well, they tend to go on a bit longer, actually. Surprise, surprise.
So,
I've had very short conversations. I've had a couple 15 minutes lately, and they just said, oh, I'm not interested, and I must have done something. Or they tend to go on forever, but you know that, and I know that, don't you?
Yeah. So how specifically, I've directed people to mail-right.com. How specifically would you like them to get in touch?
Just read some of the things, you know, and then book a chat with me. And I think it's very similar to the clients that you attract. Some of them are a good fit, some of them aren't. And it's a bit same with real estate folks. You know, when you're beginning, you've got to hustle and literally take anything. As you grow, you learn that there's some clients that you just need to refer somewhere else, and there's some clients that are perfect fit for you.
And so John's call to action on his website is book a call. It's on the top layer of his website, all the way over on the right, and then it connects into a calendar. He's doing 3 or 4 calls a day, and he seems to be available 4 or 5 days most weeks, not every week, but most weeks. So that's how you get a hold of John. If for some reason some of you have found me appealing, or you're deeper into your real estate career, or you are interested in content strategies or social strategies, I am not as easy to find my call button, but you still can find it. You look under my services page, and then there's numerous ways there. We have a lot of different little buttons that say book a call Robert, schedule Robert. Anyway, you can go there. So it's inboundrem.com and then services. And I've been Robert Newman. John?
Jonathan Denwood.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the show. Thanks for making us an increasingly popular destination. We so very much appreciate it. Take us off, John.